Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're rolling out the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So if you haven't quite had the chance to get over there and catch up on yesterday's blog, swing on by. It's right there waiting for you, right at the top of the page. So you can read that and anything else you need. They're all hanging out there for you. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and click that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we would greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
And now I know there were a boatload of NBA trades today because it was the deadline, and Dan and I will manage to fumble our way through some of them in a minute, but the Bulls even made a trade. But the bigger story here locally, Dan, I don't know if you had a chance to actually see this with all the work you got going on, but yesterday we mentioned that Eloy Jimenez got injured running into the wall. And it is said today that he will miss 5 to 6 months with that injury from yesterday. So basically, it's a season ender. There is an opportunity that he may be back for the playoffs. He ruptured a pectoral tendon when he hit the wall yesterday. So just not a good thing, and I have him in our home run league, Dan, so I will be going in and making a change.
So that's pretty much the entire season, correct?
Yeah, you know, if it's 5 to 6 months, he would be back in August or September. They do play until October now, so depending on, you know, he may have a month or so to get ready. It's maybe the playoffs if he's lucky.
And, you know, in well, let's just go fantasy-wise first. Fantasy-wise, that does nothing for you, so.
Yeah, you know, I mean, unfortunately, you know, he's not going to be a good fantasy pick. And then team-wise, of course, you know, I mean, that's going to be an issue for them losing that bat. They do have Adam Engel, who is, you know, basically a gold glove caliber defender, but he's nowhere near the hitter that Jimenez is. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who else is on the roster that they could possibly fill in with. I don't believe they have any outfield prospect. I do think this means that Andrew Vaughn probably breaks camp with the team. He'll probably take over that DH spot. They do have, Lurie Garcia is, still on the team. So possibly him and Engel could be a platoon-type system. I don't see a lot of other – oh, and that's right, Engel is hurt too, but he's got a strained hamstring, so he'll be back, relatively soon. They did sign Billy Hamilton. Maybe this gives him an opportunity, do you think, possibly?
I would think it gives them a huge opportunity. Poor Billy Hamilton.
Oh. They also brought in Mikey Matook, who was a one-time Philly prospect that it just never worked out for. I don't know. Let me see if I can bing some lovely spring training stats and see if if these guys are even playing well at this point. And I'm trying to remember, they signed another free agent. I want to say it was Nick Williams, who I think they picked up from Cincinnati. He was a minor league free agent. So, they brought in, these guys just more or less to take a look at. I don't think they were honestly expecting to have to play or use any of these guys. And all of a sudden, here you go. You get one of these late injuries and, you're looking at possibly one of these guys being on your frickin' roster. So I don't know how it's going to go, but we'll see. And I know the majority of their prospects are a little farther away. And the worst part was Jimenez was having a really good spring. He was really swinging the bat. All right, we got Williams is hitting .273, and he has hit a bomb this year. Garcia's only at .238. Hamilton's only hitting .200. Where's Matook at here? So, to be fair, Hamilton does only have 15 at bat, but it's possible they could carry him as a defender. And Matook has only gotten 3 spring at bats, so you got to figure he's out of the running. I would like to see them bring, Hamilton or maybe Williams on and let them be the extra outfielder. Probably their best bet, right?
Probably.
That was just Dan and I, at least, that's the biggest news of the day because obviously we're both, we're both baseball guys, and that's what, we're going to get into. So we'll see how that goes. But, I'm trying to think, there wasn't anything else gigantic baseball-wise. I did see that Gio Gonzalez did announce his retirement after 13 years, and I believe it was the Marlins, I think it was, who brought him in, and there were a lot of people who thought he had a really good shot to make the opening day roster, but I guess he just decided to pack it in. So, he is 35, and I mean, 13 years is a long time, so not bad. He had a solid career, right?
Yeah, I mean, he had a great time in Washington, and sadly, not to his doing or fault, but they didn't reach the level they expected there.
and to be fair, he should have won the Cy Young back in, I'm trying to remember what year that was. I'm sure they have it here. Yeah, 2012. He went 21-8 with a .289 ERA. And for some reason, he just didn't manage to land the votes. And I'm trying to remember who he lost to. For some reason, I want to say it was R.A. Dickey. And it was just just ridiculous that that's kind of how it is. Yeah, it was R.A. Dickey. Holy cow, Dan, look at that. What a memory, huh? Whoa. I impressed myself there. So, kind of a shame that was kind of stolen from him. But, Dickey was pitching in New York at the time, and that's how these things go. When you're a New York pitcher, you're going to get those votes. And it just went that way. So, to be fair, Dickey was 20-6 with a .273 ERA. But I believe Gonzalez was the better pitcher at that point in time. But, when you get the media voting, that's how it goes. But You know, again, solid career. You know, obviously, you know, he made a lot of money. So we'll see how you know, how it goes, or, you know, who knows, maybe he'll come back. You know, he is just 35. But let's jump into some of these NBA trades, because there was a big trade made by the Chicago Bulls. It was the way it was worded was, it looked like it was going to be the start of multiple trades for the Bulls, and they did make two trades, but this was obviously the biggest of the bunch. The Bulls acquired Nikola Vujicic and Al-Farouq Amin from the Orlando Magic. In exchange, the Magic get the big contract of Otto Porter Jr., Wendell Carter, and the Bulls also gave up two first-round picks. So the Bulls are getting a lot to get Vujicic, who is the main piece of this deal. He's having a career year. He's averaging 24.5 points and 11.8 rebounds this season. My opinion is the Bulls just gave up way too much, but, you know, that's how it goes here. And now the Magic weren't done dealing. This was just the start of multiple trades for them. They did finally find a landing spot for Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon is going to Denver along with Gary Clark. And in exchange, the Magic get Gary Harris, R.J. Hampton, and a first-round pick. Victor Oladipo is on the move again. You know, he just went from Indiana to Houston earlier in the year. Well, now he's going to Miami. As the Heat acquire Victor Oladipo for Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, and what they're saying is a draft swap. I don't know if it's first-round picks or second-round picks, but my guess would be that it was a probably first-round pick. Then the other big team that was looking to make trades, of course, was the Toronto Raptors. They were going to rebuild. They did end up keeping Kyle Lowry, but they did find a team that was interested in Norman Powell. Norman Powell went to the Portland Trail Blazers in exchange for Gary Trent and Rodney Hood. So a pretty solid deal there. And then Rajon Rondo is on the move again. You know, he'd been playing this year in Atlanta. Not playing much. It looks like he was averaging about 15 minutes a game. But he's going to the Los Angeles Clippers. In exchange, the Hawks get Lou Williams, 2 second-round picks, and cash. Williams is a former Hawk, so he'll be going back home. And if you remember, the joke was during the bubble last year, Williams actually went to a strip club in Atlanta to get the Buffalo Wings that were named after him. So he'll be a lot closer to getting them now. And I know Dan had to take off for a minute, but one of his guys got moved as J.J. Redick was traded from the New Orleans Pelicans to the Dallas Mavericks, along with Nicolo Melli. In return, the Pelicans get James Johnson, Wes Wundu is what I'm going with, or Indu. And the Pelicans also receive a 2021 second-round pick. Here's another Magic trade as I'm just kind of running down the list here. They sent Evan Fournier to the Boston Celtics, and they're getting 2 second-round picks back from Boston. To be fair, that doesn't mean a whole lot in the, you know, the landscape of the NBA, because second-round picks rarely, if ever, turn out to be anything. And then we had a three-team deal between the New York Knicks, Oklahoma City Thunder, and Philadelphia 76ers. The 76ers will receive George Hill from the Thunder. Austin Rivers and Tony Bradley are going to Oklahoma City. I believe it's one from each team there, Rivers from the Knicks, Bradley from the 76ers. While the Knicks are going to end up with Terrence Ferguson, who was also for the 76ers. Miami made another pickup here as they acquired Nemanja Baltica. Yeah, I get all the great names. The Sacramento Kings. Miami is sending Mo Heartless and Chris Silver to the Kings in exchange for him. You know, the Cavaliers made it clear they wanted to move JaVale McGee, and they found a place. McGee's going back to Denver. So we'll see how that goes. It doesn't look as of now. Ah, yes, here you go. The Nuggets are sending Isaiah Hartenstein along with two future projected second-round picks to Cleveland. What else do we have? We have Detroit and Sacramento making another deal here. So they're going to swap guards. The Pistons get Corey Joseph and two second-round picks in exchange for DeLon Wright. So let's see. We'll just keep rolling here. Oh, yeah, we have another three-team trade. This was the second trade the Bulls made today. The Bulls sent Daniel Gafford and Chandler Hutchinson to the Wizards. Then the Bulls sent Luke Kornet, while the Wizards sent Mo Wagner to the Celtics. And the Bulls got Daniel Theis from Boston, Javonte Green, Troy Brown Jr., and cash considerations from both of the teams there, obviously. Let's see. Toronto sent guard Terrence Davis to Sacramento for a future second-round pick. And that looks like it's it. So a whole bunch of trades moving on. But, Dan, I don't know if you heard the first trade the Bulls made early this morning. They got Nikola Vucevic from the Magic along with Al-Farouq Amin for Otto Porter, Wendell Carter, and two first-round picks. What do you think of that deal with the Bulls there?
I really don't know what to say. Does it make them better? Does it make them worse? I don't know.
To me it was just they gave up a lot. You know, I know Vucevic is having a career year, but you know, like the funny analyst we heard this morning was they said that one of the reasons the Bulls wanted to move on from Carter was because he didn't play defense. And, of course, yeah. The first thing that popped into my mind was this is the NBA. Who does?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the trade doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, like, I don't think it makes them a better team, but I guess we'll see. It does give them a legitimate NBA center, but Carter was he was a top 10 draft pick. So you would like to, and I know it wasn't this front office, and that's the first thing everybody's going to say. But, you know, I'm just not sold on this making them better. You know, it was really movement of bench players.
Wasn't that one of the big things they toted about? Was the fact that they had so many first-rounders on this team?
Yeah. So yeah, that was one of the selling points. Was they had been building all these guys, and the sad part is it's starting to look like, maybe Kobe White is the only one that's going to work out because, Patrick Williams was the fourth pick in the draft and he's not having a very meaningful rookie year. LaMelo Ball was dominating until he got hurt, and Anthony Edwards is doing really well. But nobody else in this draft class is really doing a whole lot. So, you got to wonder how that's going to work out. And, Wendell Carter wasn't doing much. Kobe White has had some really good games when he can get Zach LaVine to give him the basketball. But, who knows? They're sitting in 10th place. They're a game and a half out of the 8th spot, and I don't know if this trade gets them into the 8th spot.
Are you surprised they didn't move Levine?
Oh, no, he's, you know, remember, everybody is sold on him being the superstar you build around. So, you know, the only way they would give him up is if they can't sign him. You know what I found really funny is apparently the rumors were that they made these early trades because they were working on acquiring Lonzo Ball. You know, and I mean, when you make trades to make another trade, that's never a good thing, because if they did, it blew up in their face because they never got a Lonzo Ball trade done.
So, well, and that's,
I don't know.
That was exactly what I was going to ask you. Did you not get to that trade yet?
Yeah, no, and the trade deadline's done, so it either wasn't made or it's still sitting in the league office. So, but you know, I mean, we'll see how this works out and where it goes. But yeah, as of now, not sold on this. And let's be fair, I mean, it would actually be better for the Bulls at this point to not make the playoffs and go back in the lottery and hope they get lucky and move up to a spot, because they're not gonna do anything, you know, in the playoffs. I mean, what's the excitement? You go in and you get swept out in the first round, or you win one game, like I think both you and Schomburg do think they're capable of. Whoopee, you'd be better off in the lottery, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's what I mean. I mean, I think they could win one game. They're not winning a series, though.
So, yeah, it's just, like I said, they would be better off just finding themselves in the lottery so they can, so they can go that route and just be like, hey, let's go this way. So, but yeah, we'll see how it works out. And you know, Vucevic is a good player. So, we'll just have to see how it works out and how he meshes, and you know, hopefully it will work out for them. But yeah, and then I saw, you probably don't know this either, because I know you've been really busy with work and, you know, stuff around your house today. Your guy, J.J. Redick, got traded. He's going from New Orleans to Dallas. So Dallas did move somebody. It just wasn't Lonzo Ball.
Well, then, do you think that New Orleans will sign Lonzo's extension, rookie extension?
You know, it's possible. I know they haven't been thrilled with him, so I'm not quite sure how it's going to work out for him. You know, it's just been, I don't know, a little off maybe for him. You know, he hasn't quite seemed to find his fit yet. You know, it didn't work out, you know, with the Lakers, and, you know, as of now, it doesn't appear to be working out with the Pelicans, but, you know, there does appear that there are a lot of teams who are willing to take a shot on him. So, we'll see. You know, I mean, right? How bad could it be, right?
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, it sucks. It sucks for him, because you think about, and you know, is it his father's fault? Which, you know, his dad did exactly what he needed to do. He got all that press coverage, you know, put his, got his son's name out there, got him in a high draft pick, but I don't know what is missing, you know, from his NBA game compared to the UCLA days. So it's, for me, I think it just kind of sucks for this kid because he was put so high up on a pedestal and then just completely swept off of it. But I guess that's the nature of the beast and coming into reality, right?
Yeah, you know, and unfortunately for, you know, for Lonzo, I think his dad really ruined things for him in L.A. No, because for whatever reason, he just couldn't, you know, he couldn't keep his mouth shut. But, well, you know, for now, I don't think it's too bad.
Yeah, no, and this one may be me digging too deep, but for a kid like Lonzo, and like I said, you know, he's kind of, he was put on a pedestal, and he got through everything, got to where he wanted to be. And, you know, I'm never going to knock that. Congrats to the kid. You know, he's going to run circles around me, but that's because I'm not in my 20s, right, Big Jack? I could beat, take him then.
Yeah.
But, no, you know, and one of the small things I just kind of thought about, and I don't know if you would attribute this to anything, too, and this kind of goes back to Moneyball. Not so much the whole premise behind it, but one of the scouts made the comments about, you know, the girlfriend, no confidence, you know, things like that. And I don't know, I just kind of was thinking, do you think that pressure of, you know, having the family at home, the baby and the wife, I don't know if they got married or not, but do you think that added to some of that pressure and maybe threw off his game? Or do you think he just really wasn't fully ready for the NBA?
Yeah, you know, in reality, it could be a little of both. You know, depending on how, you know, things just kind of go, you know, because obviously he was very young, mm-hmm. you know, coming into the league after 1 year of, you know, the 1 year of college, that, you know, that can always be an issue. You know, and then anytime, I mean, you know, from personal experience, you know, having a baby changes things.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a little different. And then, I mean, imagine if it's something where you're not around all that much. You know, because obviously he's got to go to practice, he's got to go to games, they've got to go on road trips.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, it makes for an interesting scenario. So, you know, you just got to kind of see how it goes.
So I don't know. I just, you know, you think about it because, you know, this is so stupid, but someone posted on Facebook today, one of those, oh, you know, here I am sending pictures to my friends who, you know, are 38, 40, who just had kids, and my kids are all grown up. And, of course, I commented and said I didn't get any of those pictures yet, so apparently you're not on the cruise. But, no, you know, I thought about it a little bit earlier today, and, you know, it's, and I think it's great, you know, for someone who had kids at a young age, even like Lonzo Ball, to be able to do those things that they want to do in their 40s and on. But, you know, and kind of like the joke of rubbing it in our face because, you know, they had to wait 20 years to do that. But at the same time, you know, when I look back on my 20s, I got to do all the stupid things that I probably shouldn't have done, but things that I would not do now. Just cause, you know, just the understanding everything is different. But I think the biggest thing when you're in your 20s is you don't have that fear is gone, but it's not there yet. Whereas you get older, there's, you know, there's things that you think about what you're doing before you do it, as opposed to when you're a kid, you just go out there and do it. And I just thought, you know, put a correlation together with Lonzo, if maybe that had an effect on his game where, you know, had he not kind of gotten into that situation, maybe he would have been putting more of himself out on the court. And, you know, I don't know. Of course it's just speculation, but one of those things I just thought of on the fly, and I think we don't need to spend a whole lot more time on it, right? We're getting philosophical.
No, like I said, it was just the idea that, you know, the Bulls were looking to make this trade, and, you know, this had been talked about for weeks, that he was the target they were going after, and they didn't end up with him. And as far as, you know, we know, they didn't even come close to landing him. So.
And I mean, Lonzo's not gone. So he's still with, I want to say L.A. because of the damn initials for the state. With Louisiana, the Pelicans, both Pelicans. You know, so obviously no one jumped in and stole him away from the Bulls or anything. But, you know, I'd seen some talk or heard some talk about it, seen some posts a couple of weeks ago. Like you said, it's been going on. But, I mean, yesterday that was everywhere. And, you know, for me, I just kind of laughed at it. And just, I don't even, honestly, Big Jack, I don't even look at those articles. I don't care who wrote them. It could be my favorite, you know, beat writer in the city of Chicago. I don't read any of them anymore because, let's be honest, how many times have we seen reporters just go all out and just have you believe in that this is going to happen? And then there's nowhere near, you know, nothing even, there's not even like a little bubble that happens about it, you know? So I just stayed away from it. And to be honest, I mean, what would it make that big of a difference for the Bulls? You know, kind of like I talked about this sometime this week, the fact that the Chicago teams as of late just seem to try to get a name on the court, on the field, so that they could draw as opposed to actually gunning for a championship. So, I mean, which side of the coin do you think Lonzo Ball would have fit in for the Bulls if they were to acquire him?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you would like to think that he would find himself here, you know, and that, you know, this would be the place where he would fit in, you know, and his skills could show, but you never wonder. So, you know, it just, you know, it's kind of the way it goes, but. Yeah, you know, and it was funny because two of the biggest guys that the national media talked about being traded were Lonzo Ball and Kyle Lowry, and neither of them ended up being traded today. So it was just kind of like, okay, you know, I guess they're both sticking around. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, you know, I mean, that's the big NBA news, and we'll see how it works out and all the other, you know, stuff that kind of goes along with it. But I don't know if, you know, I mean, I think there were teams out there that helped themselves, but I don't know if any team really made themselves all that much better. But, you know, again, we'll see how it all works out. I don't know enough about basketball to be like, hey, how's this guy doing? But you did mention a funny thing. Remember when you said it was because you were in your 40s? I don't know if you stumbled across this video yet, Dan, but there's one where Brian Scalabrine, who's a former NBA player, now retired, they used to call him the White Mamba. He was at a gym just kind of shooting around and working out like, you know, former players tend to do. And this high school basketball player was kind of razzing him and challenged him to a game.
Oh.
Now, you know, you would think this kid is apparently a pretty good high school basketball player. You know, they played to 11. Scalabrine shut him out. He beat him 11 to nothing. So, yeah, you know, you gotta kind of be careful when you're making fun of these guys, or, you know, you think maybe he's an old man. It doesn't always go your way. And I hope this kid learned a lesson. And I give the kid credit. He tried really hard. You know, I mean, he was bumping and banging and, you know, trying to do everything he could to manage to hang on and stay in. And, yeah, it just wasn't happening for him. He got so, yeah, you got to be careful what you wish for when you mess with those 40-year-old guys.
Yeah. I mean, they don't lose that skill just because they got old, right?
No, you know, and I mean, as long as they're still working at it and they're still shooting, you know, they're going to be able to, you know, hit their marks. So, you know, we'll see how it works out for the kid. Hopefully, he does well down the line. But, you know, I just thought it was pretty funny, you know, checking out the video and stuff that, yeah, he just slapped him around. you know how that goes. So now are you still on the Bulls bandwagon for getting in the playoffs, or, you know, now that they're in 10th place and a game and a half out, do you think they're just going to kind of fade away?
No, how much longer? You know, that's the hardest part, Big Jack. When the hell does playoffs start?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, and I think they're doing that play-in thing again, that stupid play-in thing. So they may end up in that, depending on what their record is. You know, I don't know enough about it to know how they're going to handle it. So we'll have to see, but. I don't know.
I would think they still have an inkling of an opportunity. You know, and that's the thing that makes it hard, Big Jack, is, you know, do I think they'll make the playoffs? Well, everyone makes the playoffs in the NBA. So, yeah, one game out with about a month or so to go, I think they still have the opportunity to make it. But as far as going somewhere in the playoffs, no. I mean, the best opportunity they had and the last opportunity they had was when Rajon Rondo was here. And, you know, Jimmy and that team was kind of going on. I think that was the last time they had an opportunity to really make the playoffs, so to speak.
Yeah, just, you know, one of those things. But, you know, I, like I said, I still think it's better if they find their way out of the playoffs. But knowing the Bulls, they'll get in and screw everything up, right?
Yeah, well, and that's the hard part. I mean, if this were Major League Baseball, no. No chance in hell are they making the playoffs. But you're right. You know, I think you don't really want to tank the team, but you don't want to put them in the best position to win right now. But then again, you know, how great does that work? Unless they get the first pick, I don't know if they can mess that up. But, you know, what first rounder do they have still that they've picked up? I mean, wouldn't you say Derrick Rose is probably the longest one that stayed on this team over in the last decade or so?
Yeah, he's been the best one in the most recent years here. I don't even know how far you would have to go back to find a comparative one. I'm trying to remember who.
It's definitely been a while, but so Rose was drafted in 08. He was their first rounder. Taj Gibson the next year was the first rounder, but he was the 26th pick. I'm assuming
I thought Taj was a second rounder. So.
No, it says first round, number 26. And then Jimmy was in 2011.
Oh.
But, you know.
Yeah.
You look at it, you know, unfortunately, Jimmy's obviously, they're not there. I don't know that you would expect guys to be there 10 years later because it's the NBA and the way it works. But even going back,
he's still in
the league. Yeah, but he's not with the Bulls. That's my thing.
No.
You know,
before you get going on Butler, though, you're glossing over a very important player.
Who, Kevin Sarafin?
No. 2013, who were the Bulls' first-round pick? Your guy.
Yeah, well, you didn't let me get there. I wasn't done yet. Didn't you hear me? I was at 2011. So, I don't know much about Marcus Teague from 2012, but he's not there anymore. Tony Snell, first round, number 20, had the most success when he moved to Milwaukee. Thanks for that, you know. I don't know if the 2014 pick came to play here, if Nurse.
No, the Denver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, those went to Denver. I see that. You know, there's their first rounders. Bobby Portis, 2015. He's gone. Denzel Valentine, is he still there? If he is, he's not doing much.
I still
and
with the Bulls.
He what?
He's still with the Bulls.
He's still with the Bulls. But then, didn't you just say they traded Coby White and Wendell Carter, their last two first rounders?
They traded Wendell Carter. Coby White is still there. They did trade Chandler Hutchinson, was also a first-round pick with Wendell Carter. So both of those guys are gone now. That's the draft. And then Daniel Gafford was dealt to Washington. He was the second-round pick after Coby White. So
yeah, and I can't find the white guy that I liked.
Got to narrow that down. I mean, I know it's the NBA, so you got to narrow that down.
Yeah, the one whose dad coaches in college and had a little controversial thing happen to him last week.
Doug McDermott?
Yeah. So I think it was Dougie.
Yeah,
and someone else.
I think he was part of that 2014 trade. I think he was drafted by Denver and then sent to the Bulls. Remember, the NBA does that stupid thing where you have to draft the player and then trade him instead of trading the draft pick.
It just doesn't make any sense, you know, because you're looking at it and you're like, oh, so in 2017, you know, both their draft picks were traded. I don't know. It's kind of dumb. They never even played for the Bulls. But, you know, it just seems like they don't really make the big splash. So, you know, what were your thoughts on Patrick Williams?
You know, I was disappointed that he was the choice. I wanted them to take Obi Toppin. But, like, if you look at Williams' numbers, you know, you got to remember, this kid didn't start in college. He was the sixth man at Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe he'll grow into something, but, you know, you're looking at a kid who's playing 28 minutes a game, but he's not even scoring 10 points a game. He's at 9 sticks, and he's only getting 4.9 rebounds. And defense and rebounding were supposed to be one of his big things. So you got to kind of wonder, you know, and again, these guys are so young that it's hard to just close the book on him and say, okay, you know, he's not going to turn into anything. You got to give it some time. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you go back and, you know, you're looking at these guys. You know, Wendell Carter, clearly a bust. You know, they got Lauri Markkanen in 2017, and he looks like a good player when he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Denzel Valentine's a bust. Bobby Portis was a bust. They gave up on Doug McDermott. Tony Snell was a specialist. You asked about Marcus Teague. He played 91 career NBA games, and very few of them were with the Bulls. So, you know, when you start talking about these guys, yeah, it's just it's a difficult process here. You know, and I mean, they're not the only NBA team that has scuffled trying to land first-round picks. You know, the NBA is notorious for first-round busts.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just wish that somewhere down the line they would have landed on one of these guys. I mean, other teams have done it.
Well, and that's kind of my thing. Like, you know, the guys that they do go after, it just doesn't always seem to make sense. And then you would think after in the last few years they would have hit again.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you would think just randomly, and, you know, they did find Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, so, you know, they have hit here or there, but you just, you know, again, you just wonder, it's kind of like, oh, come on, you know. So.
Yeah, but even that, you know, the minute, and obviously we don't know all the issues in the locker room, but it's just like the minute Jimmy starts getting there, then it's time for him to go.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, and that was the weirdest thing. But, you know, you kind of wonder, I mean, you look at guys, you know, like Draymond Green was the 35th pick, so he was a second rounder. You know, you wonder why they can't hit on that. If you remember Tony Parker with the Spurs, he was the 28th pick, so he went late in the first round. You know, and you just wonder, you know, Dennis Rodman was the 27th pick. So, you know, I mean, you can even go back to Manu Ginobili, who was the 57th overall pick. So you just kind of wonder, you know, why, you know, just find one that's going to turn. And I mean, these guys are all Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
So, you know, let the Bulls land one that's going to be able to turn in and lead the team and, you know, that. But, so.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like it takes them a while to develop somebody when they don't give up on them. And as soon as they're ready to go, it's like, boom, I'm out of here.
Yeah. You know, and like that was the thing with, you know, Jimmy Butler. So.
I mean, I personally think they had someone that they could have built around. If they would have went with him and filled around with him, I don't know. I think you'd have a different team. Of course, I could be wrong because I think the expectation was for, I would want to say the Phillies, the Sixers to go a little bit farther when he was there, but that was just a quick layover for him. And, you know, I think the trouble in Miami is Goran can't stay healthy, you know, and you need a big three. And Jimmy definitely needs to be surrounded by two other guys to really help that team win.
Yeah, you know, and sadly, Jimmy's been hurt a lot this year as well. You know, like I know they're playing tonight and he's out again because I have him in our fantasy league. So, you know, he's been dealing with a lot of, luckily they're just minor injuries, but it's enough to keep him out of games and hopefully he'll be healthy for the playoff. So,
yeah.
But all right, well, I want to switch it up on you here, Dan, because as you know, we have our fantasy drafts over the week. Tomorrow and Saturday, Dan and I are going to be busy drafting, so he's praying his wife doesn't go into labor. And, you know, we always talk about how spring training doesn't matter, but I came across this article about 12 spring training stat lines that matter. So I want to know how you're buying or selling on these guys when the draft rolls around. And they start out with one of your favorite guys to talk about here, Shohei Ohtani. Now, Ohtani's hitting .600. He's slugging over 1,000. His OPS is over 1,700, and he's got 4 bombs. He's thrown 8 innings, and while his ERA is 7.88, his strikeouts per 9 innings are 15.8. How are you buying Ohtani as not only a hitter but a pitcher? Because, you know, he's 2 players in our league.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's go with the hard one or the easy one first. Those are not so it makes it so hard with pitching because I guess you could talk, this addresses both of them, but when you're pitching in the spring training, you're not really giving, you know, showing all your stuff. You're just trying to place the ball, get it in a spot because you don't want to, you know, throw all your hand out there at once And obviously, you know, scouting and everything, the hitters are going to be able to figure out the pitchers throughout the season. But it's spring training. You're just trying to get your arm loose. You don't really care what you're throwing out there. So I like the strikeout numbers, but it does kind of lean for me to more of a not a starting pitcher. It, you know, that sounds more like a relief guy, a setup guy, or a closer, you know. As far as the hitting, I mean, that's all great. But again, and this is not a knock on him per se, but the pitchers are just loosening their arms. They're just throwing the ball. You know, you're not going into a spring training game with the mindset of throwing a no-hitter. You know, you're just trying to keep the ball over the plate, not throw anything over the catcher's head, you know, and learn to communicate with your catcher. So I like the numbers. I mean, that's fun, but if they really meant anything, and I know fantasy is just fantasy, but if preseason numbers really meant that much, Yahoo, ESPN, CBS, those would be the numbers you're looking at, not last year's season stats.
So now, you know, based on our league, you know, 20 teams, you know, even though he's just a DH, is he a top 20 hitter? Do you see him going in the first round of our draft? Because obviously being just a DH limits him to only being used at our utility position. Where do you think he goes?
No, I still think he goes in the first round. You know, I
was thinking maybe more second, but yeah, I mean, I could see somebody jumping up to take him.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's what I that's more so what I think. Do I think, like you said, do I think he really is a first? No, I think he's going to hold out to the second round. But I do think he'll be gone because of the name value in the first round. But I wouldn't be taking him because it, you know, and the other part is if you're pick number 20. Maybe he has some interest, but, you know, you're going to be looking at the guys that are around him at that point. So, I don't know, I might even just pass him by in that position, too. Or,
yeah.
If you're pick number, well, exact,
here's our next
exact. Well, if you're pick number 20, though, do you go with Shohei the pitcher and then Shohei the hitter?
I would like to see somebody do that. All right, here's number two, Dan. We got Francisco Lindor. He's hitting .342. He's slugging .684. His OPS is almost 1,100, and he's got four bombs. Now, obviously, we know he's a first-round draft pick. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Where does he go in the first round?
Ooh. You're making it harder.
You know, I mean, is he top five? Is he top three? Is he top 10? Where do you see him coming in?
I think top 10. Definitely top 10. I, you know, maybe top five, but definitely top 10.
So, yeah, well, that's interesting. I thought maybe, but all right, here we go. We're on to Vlad Jr. here, Dan. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he's hitting .520. His on-base percentage is .606. He's slugging .840. His OPS is .1446. He's walked six times and only struck out twice. You know, he slimmed down. He put on muscle. It looks like he's making the move across the diamond to first base. So he'll become a dual-position player in our league. Is Vlad a first-rounder? And if so, where do you see him kind of dropping in at?
Yeah, I like what you said, and that's what killed me. I actually think he would be right there around with Lindor. I think the fact that he plays first, you know, well, number one, you know, I was just automatically thinking, okay, third baseman, you know, just trying to do a quick run-through in my head, and I think he'd be the first third baseman to be drafted, but then you throw in the fact that he moved to first. So now, like you said, we have dual position. And I think that would take him from middle to end of first round to the top 10.
See what we roll on to next. You know, they could just do. All right, well, this is an interesting one. Jameson Taillon, you know, obviously he spent a few years with the Pirates. Well, he's now a Yankee. 8 1/3 innings, 1.08 ERA, 14 Ks, which projects to 15.1 strikeouts per 9 innings. Where do you got Taillon in the mix here?
Good numbers, but I don't know. I still think he falls to, like, the second round.
Oh, God, I was thinking even farther than that. But we'll,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
You know,
I think, I
don't,
well, you know what happens? That pick, you know, once someone drafts a pitcher, there comes that panic. That one, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, now this is an really kind of an interesting one, Dan. I've got to be honest with you. I think he's just a flash-in-the-pan spring training guy, but the Tigers made a Rule 5 draft pick. You know, that's where you can select a guy who's unprotected from another organization, but the only way you can keep him is if you put him on your major league roster. The Tigers selected a player by the name of Akil Baddoo, B-A-D-D-O-O. There you go, Dan. He's had 32 at-bats. He's hitting .344. His on-base is .475. He's slugging .781. His OPS is 1.256. He's got 4 bombs and 3 steals. So if the Tigers want to keep him, he's got to be on their major league roster. So two questions, Dan. A, does he find his way on the roster? And B, since our league is so huge, does somebody end up selecting him down the line, like with their last pick?
I would say yes and yes. I mean, Detroit has to take anything they can get, right? So I would think they'd go after that.
They have some decent guys. You know, I mean, they're just rebuilding. So
yeah. Well, I mean, you want to be prepared in case something happens. So I think they should go for it.
So, all right, then we have another fun one here, Dan. Yeah, his own is basically a utility player for the Marlins. He's a shortstop that also plays second. In 32 games, he's hit .250. He's slugged .531. That OPS is .825. He has 3 homers and a steal. I don't think he's a draftable player in our league. You may think different. You'll have to let me know. But do you think he makes the Marlins, and what are the possibilities that somebody actually picks him?
I think it's possible, but I don't think he gets picked. Unless, you know, a good old injury
I want to go here quick because this is a guy I really like. Ke'Bryan Hayes is a Rookie of the Year contender with the Pirates. 37 at-bats, hitting .432, slugging .784, an OPS of 1.259, 1 homer, 6 doubles, 2 triples, and 2 stolen bases. How long before somebody reaches and goes out and grabs him off the board, Dan? What's your round prediction for Ke'Bryan Hayes?
4th round.
All right, there we go. We're closing it out on that. The game is 4th round for Ke'Bryan Hayes. The music is the Here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Dan is going to prepare for the draft this weekend. While we're going, you know the deal. SportsTimeRadio.com. Get on over there. Check out the draft. We're going to play the game for the new one on Saturday. While we're there, the new page is over there, the Facebook page. So come on over there and give that a like. Thank you for doing that, but remember, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want.